I don't know that I have ever preached from this particular passage, nor have I ever preached in this manner as to what I'm going to share with you tonight. It's really more of a spiritual painting from Isaiah. Isaiah, you know, he was the prophet that could paint with words, pictures that people couldn't understand at that time. But even 750 years after the fact that he gave us Isaiah 53 and described the death of Christ on the cross, that painting came to pass, the painting in words and prophecy, just exactly the way he recorded it in this book. But he also gives some parables. He gives allegories. Usually sometimes I preach expository sermons. Tonight I'm just dealing on a spiritual topic. And I'm not saying this to offend any of us, but I'm saying it as a reality. Now listen to what I'm telling you. If you've been saved for a few years, every one of you, look right here. You're not home yet. I'm not home yet. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's just the fact that there's some things that we've got to remain faithful at until we get home. And that's really the painting that he paints here. Now, when I read this, the Holy Spirit kept dealing with my heart, and I kept seeking the Lord. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? And it's about like Wednesday night. I don't think I was long Wednesday night. I won't be long tonight, but you'll understand what I'm saying. It's only got 2 points. The message only has 2 points to it. But look, if you will, in verse 18. Let's go to verse 18 and begin reading out of Isaiah 44. And don't worry, when I talk about not understanding, when you read this, you're probably going to say, that's me, I don't understand it. But I think if you'll allow me just to try to say what I think God has touched my heart about as I've read this over and over and over, and God's burned it in my heart and in my mind. This is what Isaiah said. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. So he said, I'm going to try to paint a picture now that'll maybe help you understand a little bit things that you couldn't see, things that you couldn't understand. And that was the prophet speaking to the Israelites because they just could not grasp his words. So he paints them this word picture of something that happens in an individual's life. The Bible says in verse 19, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say. Here's the picture. I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? In other words, since this is provided for me and the fire was there, should I fall down and worship the tree or worship the fire? And he, of course, is saying that's not what we should do. Then he goes to the next phrase of this encounter. He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Verse 20. He feedeth on ashes. I'm preaching tonight on the subject, feeding on the ashes. Feeding on the ashes. I said there's 2 points, 2 words. Many of you take notes to the sermons as I preach. The 2 things that he's talking about in this, point one, yesterday. And point two, today. You say, now how do you get that? Well, here's the picture that he's painting. He talks about a man on yesterday that came and got the wood and collected it. He took time to put the wood in order. He took time to prepare everything just right. He lights a fire. He kneads the bread. He mixes the dough. And he bakes the bread on the fire, on the coals of the fire. He takes time to prepare meat that may be an animal that he's hunted or something out of his own flock, but he has to prepare that animal. He has to kill it. He has to dress it. He has to clean the meat. And then on that same fire that he has baked bread, he now bakes the meat and roasts the meat. That's what roasting the flesh is. So this message is not for vegetarians. But he roasts the meat and eats thereof. He partakes of it. Out of that, what he partakes of, the bread, the meat, that took time. It was a sacrifice on his part. He had to carve out the time in his day. He had to prepare everything and get it in the right order. But out of that, look at the reward that he got. He got a wonderful meal. A wonderful meal that sustained him through the day. A meal that strengthened his body. A meal that allowed him to perform the duties of the day and the functions of the day. He received satisfaction. There's nothing quite like that feeling when you pat your belly and say, "Woo, was that good or what?" Now, it's always good, but when you prepared it and it's still good, it's very satisfying. You know, it's great. I love to hear preachers preach, and I love to hear preaching. I probably hear as much preaching as a person could possibly hear in their lifetime. But yet, even though I hear that, and as satisfied as I am by that, when God begins to move on me as a preacher and helps me to put everything in order, to come and try to bake the bread and to come and try to roast the flesh and to present that to you and us be able to eat together, and after it's over, pat myself on the stomach and say, "Boy, that sure was satisfying. That felt good." That gives you strength. Tonight, you've come here, you've given your time, and it would be a disgrace to you for me not to have prayed and sought God and studied and thought about what God wants for you tonight in this service, because I can't see your heart and I don't know your struggles and I don't know your sickness. I don't know your problems, a lot of things you've kept to yourself. I don't know the sins that you deal with or the burdens that you have, but can I remind you, God knows it all, and he knew every person that would be here tonight, and he knew every need that would be represented. And God said, "Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to put it all together and present it that they can come and dine at the master's table. And hopefully you'll leave this place, pat yourself on the stomach and say, 'Ooh, I feel satisfied. I think I can make it another day now. I think I can get done this week what God wants me to do, because I've eaten from God's word and fed from the bread of life, and I'm fully satisfied.'" But tomorrow, verse 20, is tomorrow. Tomorrow, he feedeth on ashes. See, that's what bothered me about this. Lord, what are you trying to tell these people? You paint this beautiful portrait of a person that's taken the time to go to all of that trouble to prepare that, and you've satisfied them and you've given them. But then you talk about eating ashes? What are you talking about, Lord? For some reason, he failed to remember that what he got yesterday would not last forever. I mean, it was a great experience. Every time I get really, really full, Brian, I say to myself, "I'm never going to eat again. But I promise you, I will get hungry again." And this time when he goes, for some reason, I don't know the reason, the Bible doesn't give us the reason, but he doesn't take the time to cut the wood, collect it, put it in order. He doesn't take the time to build the fire. He doesn't have the time to prepare the bread. He hasn't brought the meat. He has nothing to roast. But he comes back to the same spot, expecting the same blessing. But the truth of the matter is, It wasn't there. It wasn't there. All he saw was what was left from the experience that he had before. All he saw what was left was what was from Wednesday night service. But Wednesday night service won't do on Sunday night. Are you with me? It was great. And it was wonderful. And I think a lot of people think that if I've had that great experience, then what I can do is I can make it on that from here on out. But please hear me what I'm saying to you. He was trying to feed on the ashes of yesterday's fire. But the fire had burnt up what he had and left nothing but ashes behind. So he's trying to draw strength from yesterday's experience. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Yesterday's experience is good, it's great, but it's gone. You cannot recall that again. You can come back to the same church. You can sing the same songs. You can give the same testimony. You can preach the same sermon, but it'll never be the same again. What God did for this church yesterday doesn't mean that he has to keep doing it today just because he did it yesterday. And don't you ever feel like in your Christian experience that I can come and dine and I get full one time and then I don't ever have to worry about it again. No, this is a daily experience. Every day we've got to take time for Jesus. Tonight, we don't need the fires of yesteryear. We need the fire for tonight. And you've got a choice to make. Will you take the time and put in the effort to make sure that you have something to feed your soul when you leave this place? Or will you say, you know, it's not worth it. Maybe I can take a shortcut. Maybe the ashes taste just as good as the meat. And he starts eating the ashes. That seems strange till you look at it and start thinking about it. Wonder what happens if you eat ashes. Wonder what happens. Now, see, to us, that sounds like a strange thing. But I've been in countries where people are so poor and do not have food that I've actually seen them eat grass. And even a lot of the children, you ever see these children with swollen stomachs? That's usually parasites. And those parasites come because they pick things up out of the dirt and out of the ground. I'm not being gross, but they picked it up to eat it. They were that hungry. So he thought he would never need it, that would do him until he got home. And he thought that's all he'd need, but now he's weak. So he says, I'll try to eat those ashes, and maybe those ashes will taste like bread to me. But when he ate the ashes, he realized ashes are bitter. Have you ever accidentally got ashes in your mouth? You ever go to take the ashes out of the fireplace or have an old coal stove and the dust come up and you breathe it down even through your nose and it gets down into your throat. You can't hardly get it out. You cough and you can't cough it out. It's the most bitter taste you ever have in your mouth. And I'm here to tell you, if you're trying to live on just yesterday's experience, hear me what I'm saying. If you don't have an up-to-date experience with Christ, if you don't have fresh fire in your soul every day, life will get bitter. It doesn't take long for bitterness to come. James even said, can you go to the fountain and expect sweet water and bitter water to come out of the same fountain? You know what he was saying? What was sweet yesterday, just because you think it's sweet today, it can turn to bitterness. And the Bible teaches us the children of Israel came to waters that were bitter and they needed God to make it sweet. You have a choice to make. You can say, I'm going to let this be a humdrum Christian life, or I've decided I want fresh fire, fresh food. I want my soul strengthened. I want to be stronger in God than I've ever been before, because I need strength for the day. Moses came down out of the mountain, off the mountain, and he saw them worshiping a golden calf. That's something after God had been so good to them. They turned to idols. After they'd seen the miracle working hand of God, they turned to idols. And when he came down, he pulverized that calf. He burned it in the fire. And you know what he did? He scattered it on the water, made them drink it. You know why? He said, this is bitter. When you don't stay close to God, your life will get bitter. Any one of us, if we live too far from our genuine experience with Christ, and if we get too far from Calvary, and if Calvary is not fresh to us, and our salvation is not fresh to us, soon we'll get bitter in our experience. Ashes are bitter. So we see bitterness. Ashes provide no nutritional value. They give you no strength. Eat all of them you want, you're not going to have energy from it. Ashes create weakness. You eat it, but you get weaker. Some of you come time and time again trying to eat from the same place, but you only get weaker. Now, you may think this is off course, but you ought to go to Psalm 102 and read what David said in that psalm sometime. In Psalm 102 and verse 9, this is what he said. I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. You know what he was saying? You can't live off of yesterday. We have an up-to-date God, and we're going to face battles this week that last week's provision won't help us this week. We need to hear from God now. We need strength now. But in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Ashes not only bring bitterness, but ashes bring weakness. That's why some of you wonder, why do I lose that desire? Why? I know I should be in church. I know I should pray. I know I should read my... Why don't I do that? Do you know why? You think you've got strength enough to keep going and stand on fire for God. Within you, you think you've got a reservoir that'll keep going. But the truth of the matter is, I need God's power tonight. I need God's power in the morning. I need God's power come Tuesday. I need God's fire come Wednesday. Every time I preach, I need God's fire. I need God's help. I need God's strength. We cannot go by ourselves. It takes fresh fire, fresh food. And then I'll say this to you. If you eat ashes, I'll tell you this much. You're going to get sick. You're going to get sick. What do you mean? If you just try to live off of one little experience in your life, you pray one prayer, God answers your prayer and gives you healing, and you say, you know, God did it for me. Now I don't need God for anything. I'll live my life the way I want to and go on my way. I'm telling you, you're going to wind up sick. Now you are. It's going to make you sick before it's all over. I've watched it happen over and over again. To whom much is given, much is required. Why do you think God gave you that miracle? Why do you think God answered that prayer for you? You pray and you pray and you say, Lord, open this door for me. Give me this blessing. Do this for me. But then all of a sudden you're worshiping the blessing more than you're worshiping God. You'll find out when the people were dying, they were being bitten by serpents, and the poison brought sickness to their body, and God told his servant, I want you to make a serpent and put it on a pole and tell the people if they look, they can live. And suddenly they were overwhelmed at the miracle power of God because all they had to do was look and live. But do you know 900 years later, instead of worshiping God, do you know what they were worshiping? They were worshiping that pole, that stick with a serpent on it. They were worshiping that and it became the idol instead of God. And he said, don't you understand? It wasn't the brass serpent on a pole. It was the God that gave the command and you obeyed my command. That's why I healed you. If you're going to receive healing, it comes through obedience to God. But just because God healed me, I can't worship my healing. I've got to worship my healer. Just because God has provided for me, I can't worship my provision. I have to worship my provider. Just because God gives me food, I cannot worship my food. I have to worship my God who made me so that I'd have an appetite to eat that food and my body to change that food into energy. I'm telling you, you can't live on the ashes. You can't feed on ashes. It won't work. It won't work. I'll tell you why that I, Henry, why that I want to wait until the end of this service. I know we are creatures of habit, and there's nothing wrong with order. Nothing at all wrong with order. You need to have decency and order in all things. But in like manner, it can become ritualistic. His wife, Janetta, has been very sick, very sick. The Lord has given her healing. Henry, I personally feel the reason she's here is because God answered prayer. It's a miracle you still have her. But she's having a tremendous time with her eyes. And I know we get in routines where we'll pick one. We think if we come to the certain spot and do it a certain time in the service, then God will do it because we pick that spot, we pick that time. But the truth of the matter is, he wants us to pray for her. But if we pray and there's no fire, Henry, I failed you. If there's no fire, I have failed you. Elders, if there's no fire, we have failed his dear wife. Help me preach, will you? Some of you are so dry, and what your problem is, you don't see it. You're hungry, and you're feeding on the wrong thing. You're trying to feed on the residue. You're trying to eat the ashes. But tonight God says, I want to give you something better than ashes. I want to give you fresh food and fresh fire. I want to give you everything you need to leave this place and say, I feel like I can meet the devil head on come Monday morning. I feel like I can go right back out in the world and tell the devil, you've come to the wrong one. I've heard from heaven, and heaven has given me what I need for the day. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I need him every day. Every day. Now, I'm not saying that you forget your experience of when you got saved. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm saying most folks feel like, well, I'm full. I'll run on that tank as long as I can. And if I have to, I'll run on the fumes a little while. That's dangerous business, folks. When God calls me out of here, I hope I'm topped off. I'm getting older, I'm getting weaker, but every time I preach, God knows my heart. My wife will tell you, there's times when I go home and I hit the bed, I cannot move because I say, God, everything that's in me, let me give it all for you. I'm not glorifying myself, but Lord, I want you to set me on fire, and I want you to set our people on fire, set our flesh on fire. Let us be something that the world can look at us and say, that's real and that's genuine and that's what I want. So are you going to feed on ashes? Are you going to take a little bit of time tonight to come and get everything in order and say, Lord, send down the fire. Lord, feed my hungry soul. I'm not satisfied. Are you satisfied? Look beside of you. There's some empty, I know it's Sunday night. There's some empty seats beside of you. We ought not be satisfied with empty seats in this church. I'm not saying that we're trying to do it to be the biggest church in town. I'm trying to say there's souls that's dying. They're hungry. We shouldn't be satisfied. Don't feed on the ashes.